Hello, beautiful nursepreneur. Do you ever catch yourself dreaming of more income, impact, and freedom without needing to leave nursing completely behind? Then you, my friend, must catch my brand new free masterclass that I'm running very soon. It's called 6 Steps to Build a Profitable Nurse-Led Business. I'm going to be personally showing you exactly how I went from burnt out numb to multi-six-figure nursepreneur, and how many nurses just like you are doing the exact same things in the coaching, consulting, wellness, aesthetics, IV hydration, and digital course product offering space. Whether you want to make an additional $1,000 per month, or maybe you want to make $10,000, $20,000 per month, I'm going to walk you through the exact steps to get your business idea out of your head and into the world. It's happening live on April 29th at 7 p.m. Sydney time. That's Tuesday, April 29th, 2025. I'd love you to show up live because honestly, the vibe will be unmatched. If you can't make it, don't worry, register anyway. That's the only way that the Tech Wizards will be able to send you the replay straight to your inbox after it's happened. My friend, head over now to Nursepreneur Academy on Instagram, click the link in my bio and register your spot. Burnout is one of the biggest unspoken crises in nursing. For years, Annabelle Wood was one of those nurses giving everything to her patients whilst quietly running on empty herself. With more than 25 years in healthcare, her career spanned primary healthcare nursing, clinical quality and safety, first aid education, and senior health project roles across the state. On paper, you could say she was thriving, but behind the scenes, the pressure was building. It all came to a breaking point when Annabelle built a very successful business and also later suffered and experienced septic shock that left her questioning everything, her health, her career, and even her purpose. That moment forced her to confront a truth that she'd been avoiding. She couldn't keep sacrificing her well-being for a career that was breaking her. Today, Annabelle is the founder of the Wellness Shift Coach. She's created the Burnout to Balance Pathway, a framework that helps primary healthcare nurses move from exhaustion to overwhelm and clarity, resilience, and renewed passion for their work. This is a story of how hitting rock bottom forced Annabelle to redesign her life and how she's now helping other primary care nurses do the same thing. Welcome to the Nursepreneur Academy podcast, where nurses like you discover how to break free from the bedside and build a flexible, profitable business using the skills, knowledge, and experiences you already have. I'm your host, Liam Caswell, an RN turned full-time six-figure nursepreneur. In 2021, everything changed for me in my career. I left my senior nursing role to build an online nurse-led personal brand. One that gives me the freedom to work from anywhere, leverage the skills the hospital paid me to learn, and create both the income and impact I always knew I was capable of. Now it's your turn. I'm here to show you the possibilities beyond bedside and help you transition into a nurse-led business that fits your needs and life. Whether you dream of working from home, earning what you're truly worth, or making an impact on your own terms, I'm going to guide you every step of the way. Together, my friend, we'll make traditional nursing as you know it, optional. Now let's get down to it and let's build your profitable business. Annabelle, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
Well, I'm excited to be here, Liam.
Let's do this. So, Annabelle, you have been a nurse for a whopping 25 years. Incredible achievement. If I'd met you at the start of your nursing journey, what would you have told me about why you chose nursing?
Well, I actually have wanted to be a nurse since I was 4 years old, at least.
Wow. Yes. Wow.
In fact, I can prove that, and that is I have a photo of me dressed as a nurse in the newspaper when I was 4 years old, and that is when I was in preschool, I was playing dress up and the newspaper came and took a picture of me at preschool with a bunch of other kids. We were all dressed up as in the clothes of what we wanted to be when we grew up, and I was dressed up as a nurse.
I love that so much. So 4 years old, nursing was already in your bones.
That's
and
right.
Tell us about why originally, like, you've made that move into nursing when you finally got qualified and started your career.
One of the reasons that I did want to become a nurse was because my aunt was a registered nurse and midwife, and she would always talk about her job and what she did and so forth. And so that's what led me to want to be a nurse. And as I got older, the stories got more involved, as you would imagine, like you would say everything to a four-year-old. I hear more and more details. And then when I started going to uni, I also started working as an AIN. And then I began understanding that nursing was actually a little bit different to what I had expected. And there were a lot of things that my auntie left out. And I'm thinking, auntie.
Naughty auntie.
Painted a picture. Tell me about nursing.
Yeah.
It was okay. What I really loved about nursing was working with the patients and communicating with them and doing those little things that made a difference. Just having a patient smile, and that was a win.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't overlook those small things, right? Like those everyday little micro moments that really make a patient's day. And also, when we're talking about stress with the work that you do, it's like those things also fill up our cup, hey? And we overlook them and we think it has to be a new certification, a new bit of paper, a promotion, a pay rise, something tangible that we can hold. But often it is the things, or they are the things that are smaller and more minute, and we just kind of look past them. So I love that. Now, you have had a very varied, interesting, incredible career. You have worked across loads of different specialties. You have worked across primary healthcare, clinical quality and safety, as I mentioned, project roles. You also have already built a very successful business as well. So before we dive into the meat and bones, at what point in your journey did the cracks begin to show? When did the stress and the burnout start to become more than just part of the day-to-day job of being a nurse or being a business owner?
I think it wasn't until I was working in my own business that I started getting those stress and burnout type symptoms. Prior to that, I was working quite well. Yeah, I would agree, yes. Up until that time, I was working quite well in my full-time roles. Mm. And I had been working in a variety of different areas. So I'd work in public hospitals, or I'd worked in private hospitals. I'd worked in product companies as educators and clinical consultants and things like that. And what had happened was I had been on maternity leave, and the medical device company that I was working with reorganized and reshuffled the company, and the portfolio I was working in disappeared. And I essentially lost my job.
Yeah.
Which is really unusual for a nurse to lose their job.
Yeah.
And the other roles that were available at that time were not roles I could do because I was not qualified for those roles. They were things like finance and, you know, accounting and things like that. So what I ended up doing, because I was on maternity leave, was thinking, well, I've got my certificate for in training and assessment, and I've always been interested in first aid because I had been in the first aid emergency service and had been a first aid trainer for them. And I thought, well, let's try my hand at first aid training. So I opened Simply First Aid, and that was as a sole trader. It led to being a company. It grew. And this was with a newborn as well.
Wow. Wow.
And it turned into a $350,000 plus a year business nationally, 14 staff I had. And it ended up being I loved it. I was very, very passionate. I was involved in several networking groups. People in the area always knew who I was. I was all over social media, organically. I didn't schedule anything. I didn't know how to schedule anything.
Yeah.
I just, you know, picked up the phone and talked to it.
Yeah. The good old days of social media before algorithms ruined the hell out of it. Yeah.
That's right. tried some paid ads, didn't work. So I just went back to organic stuff. And, you know, everyone knew who I was. I did a lot of private courses and things like that. I outsourced a lot of my work. I had a VA. Everything was great. But the problem was that I was working on my business plus in my business, and I was doing 90 plus hours per week.
Wow.
And
with a newborn.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, us high performers, hey, you know, what can we say? We love to stack it on and overcommit and overdo. But it's proof that you can do that, right? Like, not saying you should do it, but you like we can do those things because we're incredible human beings. But it was a choice that you made at that point in time. So you built this successful business to multiple six figures, team of 14 people, newborn baby, you know, running the household, do all the things. And then talk to us about the breaking point with the 90-hour, I mean, the 90-hour weeks is like enough said, right? But like, what did burnout look like in that phase of your life for you?
I started dropping balls. So I had all these balls in the air and I was juggling and everything was going well. And then suddenly I realized balls were dropping. I was getting calls from customers saying that a trainer was not performing. And that's my fault because I had not trained the trainer properly or prepared the trainer properly. So that comes back to me. Something else had happened or I'd missed a deadline or a bill hadn't been paid or just things, you know, sometimes they were little things, sometimes they were big things. And it just kept piling up. And then I was getting tired and I hadn't been. But I was losing my motivation and then I was starting to get tired of the, not tired of the business, but getting to the point where I'm thinking, I don't want to train anymore. For me, to have lost that passion was really unheard of for me because I am so passionate about everything that I do. And for me to lose the passion for that was a real wake-up call. And so I went and saw a naturopath and she talked to me and said, look, you are burning the candle at both ends. You are in burnout and you in such severe burnout. I haven't seen this in a long time. I actually suggest you go to hospital.
Wow.
And for a naturopath to suggest that you go to hospital is a big thing.
True. That's very true. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So I went to hospital because I was so fatigued. Like it's, I don't know if anyone has ever felt this, but you're so tired that you either keep going or you stop and don't start again.
Yeah.
That was where I was at. And I had to get a friend to pick me up from the naturopath because I could not drive. Like I got myself there, but I couldn't drive. I was just, it would have been like I was drunk driving if I drove.
Yeah.
I was driven to the hospital. To the emergency department. I was seen, I was admitted, seen by the endocrinologist who ordered a bunch of tests, and my burnout was actually shown up in the blood test. And I had to stay there for 6 days until my blood test came back to normal. And he said I had to either stop the business or go down to 3 days a week.
Yeah.
Like, so from 90 plus hours a week to three normal hours, hour days. How could I do that? I didn't know. So my husband actually took over the training because he had his cert for. And eventually he took over the business and registered his own business and took over my clients. And when I got out of hospital, I was lucky to do 1 hour a day. I was so exhausted. I just couldn't do anything. It was a forced break, basically, forced holiday. Yeah. And that was in the October of back in 2017. And after that, I wasn't able to work again until February.
Wow.
It took me that long to recover enough to work part-time.
Yeah.
And then I worked part-time because I lost my business. I ended up having to close my business.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't sustain it. And because without me, it fell apart.
It wasn't working, yeah. I think we should pause here for a second because I think people that are listening will resonate with your experiences to varying degrees. But what I want people to hear is that the thing we often don't talk about with burnout and stress and that we see a lot in the data and the evidence and also in how people present, i.e. us clinicians when we burn out, is that that cumulative load, like you started a business and worked really extremely hard and worked 90 hours a week and you stretched your system because in that moment, you're passionate, you're driven, you're ambitious, you're motivated, you're bringing something to life. And that's what you chose to do at that point in time. But some of us do that in nursing, right? Some of us do that in nursing. It doesn't have to be in business. And the cumulative load and that compounding daily micro macro stress that we experience, we think that, you know, going for a one-off massage or having a bubble bath or just doing like a little self-care activity is going to reset the stress cycle. But what I think your experience shows us, whilst it's extreme, what it shows us is the cumulative effect of chronic stress compounding and leading to existential crisis and burnout, where you need to be in hospital and your blood work indicates that you are experiencing extreme burnout, and then the recovery from that is taking months, if not years. There is so much data to suggest and to support that that is true, and that the stress and burnout impact on nurses and clinicians, midwives, anyone listening, can take years to recover from. And I know you, because I've worked with you over the last few years, and I know that that is also true for you, right? That happened in 2017. Would it be safe to say, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but would it be safe to say that to this day, you still experience symptoms of stress and burnout from that period of time? Or do you feel like you're fully recovered from that now?
I would say that I'm fully recovered from that particular burnout. I have other things that I carry with me today that we'll talk about later.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So we built a super successful business. It led to burnout and you had to let that go, which is a huge life transition moment, hey, to grieve and to process and to move through. Your baby. Businesses are our babies. I totally understand that. And so here you are now. People might be thinking to themselves listening, okay, so Annabelle has been a nurse for 25 years. She still is a nurse practicing. She built a business that was successful. It floored her, right? It knocked you out. And you're on Liam's podcast, and we're probably assuming that you have a business. So why did you think that it would be a good idea to come back to business a second time round, given your past lived experience? Talk me through that process of decision making.
Interestingly, I got a job, and about a year after that burnout, I ended up with, like, totally non-related, but I ended up with septic shock and toxic shock syndrome. And that was actually very life-threatening, as you know.
Yeah.
Having the septic shock and the toxic shock syndrome together. And yes, ICU and all the rest of it. Mm. And I needed to have a hysterectomy. And then I got left with chronic pain syndrome. And I got PTSD with it. Wow. And it was all a big thing. And I am, and that was in November 2018, and I am still recovering from that.
Wow.
I'm doing very, very well, but I do still get pain from that.
Mm.
Although not very much now, but it still affects me. From that experience, I wasn't able to work for a year. And when I was able, I was well enough to go back to work, I had to completely rediscover my identity. Who was I? What did I want to do? And everything. What I had in my thoughts was I wanted to start a business at that point. But my insurance was like, no, you can't start a business. You need to work. And then we can pay you to help and help you to gain employment, 7 hours a week, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, okay, yep, no problem. And what I discovered was that primary care nursing, particularly in the general practice, was the best for me to work in, because what I like to do is educate. Education is something that I love to do.
Mm.
Prevention of chronic diseases and teaching people how to self-manage.
Mm.
And that's why I like the care plans, the GP management plans and so forth. I really love doing that in GP land. And what I thought was, if I can go into general practice, I won't have to do shift work. It's family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids can go to before and after school care if needed, and I can still work in primary health care. It won't be as full on as far as the mobility is concerned. So it won't be as heavy on my pelvis, and I can do some part-time work.
Mm-hmm.
And that really worked for some time. The problem was that I burnt out again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a secondment to eHealth, and I did some project work, which was great. And then they renewed my contract, and I did a second secondment. Mm-hmm. And then I went back to general practice, and then I burnt out again.
Mm-hmm.
And what I discovered was that the second time, so that's three times. So the first time we talked about where I went in hospital, second time I didn't actually realize I was burning out until I reflected back when I was building this business. I went, that's what happened. And the third time, which was last year, I recognized I was burning out and I chose to leave the practice. And it was around that time that I thought, no, I've got to do something else. And by chance, you were starting to advertise your container, your NPA container. And I was thinking, this sounds interesting. I might have a look at this.
Opportunistically, it was always just popping up at the right time. It's almost like I'm in your head, Annabelle.
I love it.
So three burnout episodes. Like you had the idea of entrepreneurship years before. That's really important for people to hear, right? Because so many of you listening have the idea, you're sitting on it, and you're thinking, if only there's the right time, if only there's a amazing container that pops up, you know, and we put it off and we put it off.
So I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly. And that's even more important because most of us, when we first start, we don't know, but we have the desire. And I always say it's worth exploring that desire and giving yourself permission to not know the how, not know the result ahead of time, as you didn't when you came into NPA, right? As we started building out your business, but you knew you had, and that's what I look for in people. If you come to me, you're like, I just want to escape from bedside and I just need out, like you're probably not a good fit because you probably don't have the ambition, drive, motivation, tenacity to see through entrepreneurship and to do the things that are going to be challenging as you move through it, right? Because it's not easy. It's not plain sailing, as Annabelle's just told us all. And so it's really important to acknowledge that years ago, you had that idea, like 2018, 2019, 2020, you had an idea that you wanted a business again, but you didn't know what that would look like. And here we are today. And we've been working together and you've been building out, hopefully with less burnout, but you know, building business is challenging. You can tell us about that. And we've been building out the Wellness Shift Coach. Let's go back to like, you started working with me in MPA and we're working one-to-one together and you came with an idea for a business, but we hadn't fully landed on this. How did we get to the Wellness Shift Coach?
The first thing we did, I guess, was to review everything that I had done in the past. What jobs had I done? What were my achievements in those roles? What opportunities did I have? What stood out? And, you know, and what did I observe about those roles? And were there any patterns? With the roles that I've had, and I've had a few in different areas, what stood out as being something that I was really good at, that I could then pass on and coach others on or teach others on. And for me, what that looked like was, gosh, I have so much adversity in my life. Oh my goodness. Maybe I can help other people get through and get over adversity and teach people some resilience. And that's what my business is all about, is to teach people to recognize when there's a stressful situation and put themselves into a position where they are going to be a little bit more like Teflon. And let those stressful situations slide off and not affect them so much.
And I think what you just did beautifully there was you summarized months of hard work in searching and researching and exploring, because this is where most people get stuck in the building process of a business, is they give up too soon because they think, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I remember when we sat down and we coached on this and we were thinking about adversity, and you kind of came to a corner, you were like, oh my God, I've been through a lot of adversity. I was like, hell yes. Like, there is gold in that. Like, other people are, they don't have to have gone through the adversity you've gone through. And I remember naturally, of course, because you're a human with the brain, your brain at that point in time is like, but who's going to want this? How could I help people with this? Like, how does this translate? Because we immediately want to know, as soon as we land on a potential niche and potential offer, what does this look like? Right. So, what was the biggest struggle for you in committing to that as a pathway forward, and like locking that in as a niche and as a pathway for your business to build and grow?
I think probably I'd wonder, what if no one buys it? How would I price it? Will they buy? Will I be good enough?
Yeah.
What if I need another qualification, or they won't buy if I don't have a coaching qualification, so they might not buy from me, those sorts of things.
Yeah. So interesting. Hey, and everybody listening has the same thoughts, including myself, right? Even to this day, I still have the same thoughts about my own offers. And so it's like, okay, you showed up, you gave yourself permission, you had the desire, but you had no clue. And you also had a lot of doubt, right? Because you were carrying some business baggage from the first round of like, what do you mean? Like, I built an in-person service-based business, and Liam's saying you can build a business online with your expertise and your skills and your knowledge online, right? Without needing to go and do all of this extra work. Like we build an online business, and you are building a mid-ticket coaching business where you can do that from home that allows you to have the time, location, freedom that you want and choose. Whilst it's important to note that you're working nursing as well to be able to build this business. And then the goal is to make nursing optional for you to be able to dabble in nursing as and when you choose and please, right? So in building a coaching business, people often think it looks like influencer lifestyle, like it looks great. You're just sitting at home, you're on coaching calls, you're on Zoom all day. Like that's what it looks like. What's the hard truth that you wish you knew more about when you first started building this business with me? What do you wish was like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, in your face?
I think it would have been, what I would have liked to have known is that it takes time. It does take time. And that's not a bad thing. It's just, and by the way, nothing is good or bad until you put a meaning behind it.
Yeah.
Just by the way.
Yeah, love that. Yes.
Nothing is good or bad until you put a meaning behind it. You need to understand that. It's very important. Mm. So time must be spent in building your foundations properly before you go forward. Because if you rush it, you might get quick results, but they won't be sustainable and they won't last.
Yeah. Amen. Say that louder for the people in the back. Yeah. It's so true. And like, there are so many people that forget, right? And when you're thinking about nursepreneurship, it's like, okay, let's not forget that when we build a nursing career, it takes time too. You do a year of grad foundations before you move on. That is essential. It's mandatory almost across Australia, right? And so the same is true in business. Anybody that tells you, I've fallen for all these traps, the 12 weeks and we'll build your business and you'll be a six-figure entrepreneur. Like, it takes time. The time is worth spending in order to be able to get to where you want to be, to create a business that does not recreate the burnout that you left nursing for and that you left that first business for, right? It's so important that we go at your pace and build it in the way that you want it to be run and tailor it to you. Because what worked for me might not necessarily work for you, hey? And that's the thing. And that's one thing I think that we try to really do in MPA is make sure that you're building your business, not building a version of my business. Mm. Okay, and that's super important. So I love that. It takes time. So tell us, we've done a lot of work together, right? So we've done nursepreneur, business care planning. We've looked at what does it look like over the 1, 2, 3 years. We've reverse engineered your goals. We've done a lot of niche work, ideal client work. We've gathered data. We've done social media content creation. We've built out email funnels for people that are listening thinking, holy shit, that's a lot of work. We've done a lot of work, right? This is the foundation phase of building your business so that whilst you're working your nursing job, your business is still working behind the scenes. So as part of that process, we create an incredible offer and we've niched down and we create a signature framework. So I'd love to hear more about your burnout to balance pathway for primary healthcare nurses. Why do you think this is the answer versus what else is out there for primary healthcare nurses particularly?
When primary healthcare nurses, in particular practice nurses, when you're feeling stressed, burnt out, or heading towards that, there are a lot of tools and resources out there for stress and burnout or stress and burnout prevention. However, in my research, I have not found anything that is targeted directly for this specialty.
Mm-hmm.
What I have done is, because of my experience my lived experience of burnout, plus my lived experience working for about 6 years in primary care nursing, I have tailored this burnout to balance roadmap specifically for primary care nurses.
Mm.
Okay, so what I do is specifically for you. And it means that I understand what it is that you're going through. I understand your stresses. When you say something about the care plans, when you talk about the sterilization, when you talk about the immunization, when you're talking about the treatment room, the doctor's rooms versus the reception and the cold chain, like I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
And I understand the stresses that you are under. And whether you're a solo nurse or you work in a team, I get it.
Yeah.
You know,
and there's so much power in that as well for working with and being with a coach, a mentor, a guide who has walked that path. I remember when I was looking for a nurse career coach, that's why I got into nurse career coaching, because I couldn't find one. I could not find one. And I got great support and advice outside of the industry, but I would always leave those calls being like, well, yeah, she doesn't really get it. She doesn't really understand the stress. Like, she worked a corporate job, I worked in ICU. How can you compare? Like, the stresses are very different, not, you know, downplaying what she was going through. And so the same is true, right? When we're looking for help and support, being able to, and we know this from the science and the evidence, like being able to co-regulate with your coach and build a psychologically safe therapeutic relationship with your coach or mentor when you're healing from burnout and recovery, and working through that on that recovery pathway is integral to your success. It is a key contributing factor for you to be able to thrive as you move through that process. So if you were to pick one thing from burnout balance roadmap that you think would be most beneficial, I mean, it's all super beneficial because we spent weeks, if not months, working on it. But what would be one thing that you'd love to share with our nurses from that roadmap?
If I have to choose only one thing, it would be to get in touch with your values.
Mm-hmm.
If you discover what your top five values are, what's important to you, and you live by those, you use them as your moral compass and you make your decisions based on those values, you can't go wrong. So a decision whether to stay or to leave, you know, is your work aligned with your values? Are you living each day according to your values?
Mm-hmm.
Is your work aligned to your values, your workplace? If not, can you change? Is there something you can change in your workplace to make it align? Is there something you can do? Sometimes there is. Sometimes there's not anything.
Yeah. And you know? So much there are so many things within our control that we don't see. Yeah. And like coming back to the basics and the foundations, not to undermine them, because this is the work that every coach, mentor, like whoever you choose to work with, they will always bring you back to that. Every container that I've invested in, I'm always brought back to values as a foundation. It's a core stabilizer. Like, it's in Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Like, it is essential as a first step. And like, it's crazy that we're not taught it. It's not integral to our clinical development plans. It's not mentioned in our yearly PDP. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's nowhere to be seen in the system. And so there's so much power in having a touch point to go to someone. And of course, that's just one part of your roadmap, to be able to check back in and create some nervous system safety and go, like, what I'm experiencing right now, does it still align with where I am, where I want to be, who I want to be, how I want to show up? That's super, super powerful. Now, you've created the Burnout to Balance roadmap, which is freely available. And we'll drop the link in the show notes for people to go and download that. I've looked through it. I've, you know, worked with Annabelle alongside Annabelle. She's been creating it. It's super valuable and highly tailored to primary healthcare nurses. But also, if you're not a primary healthcare nurse and you're curious, go and get it. Go and download it as well. And the link is in the show notes. Now, I wanted to ask you, You've been building now with me inside MPA, building the Wellness Shift Coach. And I wanted to ask you, what has been your single most proud moment in building this business, your second business, where you felt like it's starting to click and things are starting to come together?
Developing the ebook, I think, was quite a big milestone for me. That was a big milestone, getting that one out.
Why?
Because it's such a valuable document and it has so much value in it.
Yeah. Do you think also part of that pride, and I'm just like projecting on you here, but just having worked with you, I also think, and I see this a lot, when we allow ourselves to see and we do all that work of like, what have I been through? What have I experienced personally and professionally? And then you land on something and you go, I can actually help people beyond the bedside with something that I've created through my lived knowledge, skills, and experiences. And you put it all down on paper and you have a little moment, whether you admit it or not, but you have a little moment where you go, holy shit, I actually know a lot of things and I've got a lot of value to offer the world. And I think that maybe I'm projecting on you, but I think that that's also what comes through when people hit that milestone, because now you get to put it out in the world and help people. And that guide will help hundreds, thousands of people over the lifespan of your business. You know, I've had my guides downloaded over 5,000 times. It breaks my brain that 5,000 people have consumed that information and they've been able to get some level of support just from me pulling together, being brave enough, right, to pull together your experiences and write them down and publish them and put them out into the world. It's an incredible offering of value, but also self-validation as part of your healing journey as well.
Absolutely. It's also the fact that I can do this business without having to go through the 90-hour weeks and things like that. Absolutely not. I am looking after myself. Self-care is so important, and I am being a role model of what I'm coaching people to do.
Of course.
So, self-care is vital. It is something that I am coaching on. And it is something that I am doing myself.
And I think, as you raise such a valid point, as nursepreneurs, you can't sell something that you're not embodying. You just can't, right? Because people smell it a mile away. And so therefore, you know, a lot of the work that we do in MPA, and the reason why I created MPA is because I've been in heaps of business containers and coaching programs that have no clue the burnout, the traumas that we've experienced. And they would always question me and be like, why can't you just go out and sell something for $5,000? I'm like, I can't, because I don't think I'm worth that. I'm not capable of creating that result. And I had to do so much work on my mindset. And I see that in our NPA students as well, right? Like, everybody has their level of work that they get to do, because it is a privilege to do the work to reframe your brain, re-engage your neuroplasticity and rewire your nervous system so that you come out of it an entrepreneur that has created a business that's sustainable and scalable. So the first month or two of the work that we did was around, even though you've done heaps of work on yourself, it always is, regardless, is around mindset, self-coaching, self-leadership, radical self-responsibility, nursepreneurial nervous system, which always people love. And they go, oh my goodness, yes, I can see how I've been having these moments of fight or flight. And that's integral for you to build a business. Why build it? Hey, my belief is like, why even bother building it if you're just going to be a hot mess express?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've done tens of thousands of dollars worth of personal development before coming into this container.
Yeah.
And like, it's all been fantastic. And I've learned heaps. I've come here with a lot of insight into myself, which is great. But there's always something else that you can learn.
It's never done.
It is never done.
And it's so frustrating, but it's also incredible at the same time. I'm just like waiting for the day where I'm like, I've made it. It's not happening.
I'll tell you something funny. My great-grandmother, at age of 99, tell me, I still learn something every single day.
Yeah, that's a really important reminder. Hey, it's so important. I love that. So thank you for sharing that. And the ebook is incredible. And you guys need to go and get it. It's in the show notes for sure. I would love to ask you this question, because we started off talking about young Annabelle that was a nurse in the system. And I just want you to reflect for a moment. And if young Annabelle could see you today building this business, helping nurses, with their resilience and their stress and their burnout in a whole new, innovative, evidence-based, holistic way, what do you think she'd be saying to you?
You go, girl.
You go, girl. I love that. Yeah, she is like, yes, Annabelle, absolutely smash it. So, so good. And for the nurses that are listening who are burning out, they feel like they're burning out, they know they're maybe on the edge of burnout, but they're scared to make a change, hire a coach, see a psychologist, go to a naturopath, you name it, you know, talk to their employer. What would you say to that nurse?
If you're in that situation where you feel like you're on your way to stressful burnout, or you think you might be there, and you're a bit hesitant to reach out, I would actually have a little bit of courage and do reach out, because it's so important that you don't isolate yourself. This is the time where you need support. This is a common problem, and please don't let anyone tell you that your registration is going to be affected by this. A lot of people are concerned that mental health is a registration black mark or something like that.
Yeah.
And burnout is absolutely not. I can tell you now, I've had mental health issues. I've been diagnosed with depression and anxiety, and it has had nothing to do with my registration.
I'm
quite happy to put it out there that I've been diagnosed with depression and anxiety, and I'm on antidepressants, right? And I don't care who knows it, because it's not, like, it's quite common. And the medications are there to help me to be functional. I won't be on them forever, absolutely not, but there are some people who need them in order to function. And what happens is, the person who doesn't take them because they're scared of kickbacks from registration or employers or whatever, you know what, it's none of the employer's business. You don't have to tell them.
And I always think as well, like, I love all of that, and that's great advice. Just, you know, find the courage within yourself, because future you needs current you to show up and do the thing that you're most scared to do. And it's hard, right? But when you're in the pits of despair and you're in that low, low burnout state, and you're probably dysregulated, you know, I always say, find someone that you can co-regulate with, a good friend, like a nursepreneur bestie, just someone that you can say, hey, I'm just struggling with that. We all have that one person in life that we can just go to and be like, I'm just really struggling. Can you help me? Like, what do you think I can do? Just talking about it is going to get you some, probably foster you some courage. And also, to your point, I always like to remind myself and everyone that, like, we all have mental health. It's part of us. Like, we all have mental health. We all should be focused on our mental health. And in this day and age, it's, you know, it's essential because of how we're marketed to, what we're exposed to, the introduction of AI. Like, we're not going to go into all of that right now, but there are so many competing priorities for our attention and for our creating dopamine, all of the things. And we're a deeply dysregulated world that is predominantly struggling with their mental health. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens as we move forward. But so good to have you creating this space, essential support for primary healthcare nurses. So Annabelle, thank you so much for coming on the MPA podcast. It's been a joy and a delight and a pleasure. And we obviously could not cover everything today. We never can, but we've got it out there in the world, and your story is out there, and it's going to inspire so many people. Where can people find you and connect with you?
You can find me on Instagram and on Facebook. It's just The Wellness Shift Coach.
Perfect. Awesome. And the links will be in the show notes, and definitely go and grab her ebook. Annabelle has got a lot of wisdom to share with you from her lived personal professional experiences. Annabelle, thank you so much for being an example of what is possible when you choose yourself as a nurse and choose to build a nurse-led business. I can't wait to see what you do. Awesome. A pay rise bedside nursing could never provide. Freedom from hospital politics and the flexibility to work on your own terms without the shift work. You, my friend, are one step closer to creating your bedside escape plan. I want to hear your insights, takeaways, and questions. Connect with me over on Instagram at Nursepreneur Academy, or email me at hello@liamcaswell.com. If you're the type of nurse that's ready to explore your options for building a nurse side business, leave us a review, screenshot it, and send it to my email or my Instagram, and I'll send you my bedside to business roadmap, my step-by-step process to building a six-figure nurse-led business as a thank you. Until next week, keep dreaming big, taking bold action, and betting on yourself, because this is the year you make nursing optional.